It's a pleasure to welcome back to her hometown, Sophia Taggart. She grew up here, and now she's the flute professor at Washington State University. She has flute in hand. She's in our studio. And so, of course, we open with music. This is a second movement, an allegro movement, from a sonata in A minor by C.P.E. Bach. From our studio, Sophia Taggart. From our studio, flutist Sophia Taggart playing the Allegro movement, the second movement of a sonata in A minor by Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach, one of J.S. Bach's sons, and on her flute. So we have Sophia Taggart now in our studio and in the inner studio, and welcome, Sophia.
Thank you for having me.
And what's the joy of working on and playing the piece you just played?
I would say it has a very nostalgic feel for me. I remember starting it in my undergrad and not liking it very much. And it was one of those pieces that shows up on competitions year after year. And so I started getting used to the style, which is a little different than J.S. Bach and some of the composers who followed. So it was difficult, which might be why I didn't like it at first. But I think for me, the joy of playing that piece is knowing that it was something that I worked on year after year and got to know it and really picked up my own take on it. So it feels like home.
Well, it sounds like home. It sounds like you doing it, including, I assume, you were having a good time with ornaments.
Yes. Yeah. I enjoy ornamenting.
Okay, and so if you played it, if you went back and played it again, you might do a few different ones.
Yes, yeah, there were some that I just threw in there for fun today, and a couple that I was going to do something else, but when I got to it in the moment, I thought, you know, I think this is going to be more exciting.
Good. So. Well, that's what music's supposed to do,
yes.
Isn't it? Absolutely. Sophia Taggart, who grew up here, and now she's the flute teacher at WSU, which is a big deal. And I'm going to do something a little different right now because I usually kind of keep myself out of most interviews. But the sheer fact is Sophia and I got to know each other when she was the principal flutist in the youth orchestra when I was conducting it. And it was an era with a lot of really good wind players in the youth orchestra. Just amazing, wonderful, really good wind players. And they've gone on to all kinds of different things, but only a few of them, if I may say so, have made it over the wall, meaning really, you know, gone all the way into a career and really achieved a serious level of success in a career. So I want you to kind of dig deep into your childhood, into your past, into your character, into the people around you, and trace how and why this has worked for you.
I think everything just presented itself at the right time for me. I know that when I graduated high school, I was playing at a pretty good level, but I did not feel ready to go on to some of those major conservatories. I wanted an experience that would fit my personality a little bit better. And so for me, I think what really got me to where I am today was knowing where I was in the moment and who I needed to be around to get to the next level. And sometimes I didn't know exactly where I needed to go next, but it was important for me to take advantage of everything that was presenting itself. So I would say I took a not standard route to get where I am today. I did all state schools. I went to state schools for my undergrad, for my master's, and even for my doctorate, which technically was a conservatory within a state school, but it was still a state school. So name names. For my undergrad, I went to Washington State University. Mm-hmm. Go Cougs. And then I went to University of Oregon for my master's and did my doctorate at the University of Missouri, Kansas City Conservatory of Music and Dance. So I stayed at schools where I knew I would be challenged by the professors and by the experiences that I would have. But I was very aware of the fact that I didn't want to be just one more face in a large crowd. So I wanted special treatment, I guess, mm-hmm. You know, smaller institutions that give a little bit more help to students who are just there to learn. So, and then I think also another thing that helped me out was I've always been very interested in just learning in general. So I got secondary degrees along with all of my main degrees. So when I was at WSU, I also got a history degree, just a general history degree. And then I did a performance degree at Oregon, but also a musicology degree. So for me, I was always looking at the academic side and the performance side and how those two fit together. And I kind of just wanted to do what I wanted to do for getting to where I went. And I think that was also maybe fostered by my upbringing with my parents.
So, yeah. And talk a little bit about, you know, the vibe of where you came from.
So I came from a somewhat musical family. My mom sang. In fact, she was in a gospel trio back in Montana when she was younger, which has since made waves because their album cover is always on those worst album cover ever things. They're kind of amazing. So she was very musical, and, you know, my first memory as a performer was at the age of 3 when I was singing Go Tell It on the Mountain at church, and I fell off the stage, and it was this big fiasco, and but obviously I didn't stop. So I was brought up in a musical world, and my mom was always really supportive, and when I asked for flute lessons, she said, okay, let's do this, which was, you know, not always financially possible for people. So we made it work, and that was really what kind of helped me get where I was going. And I studied with a couple teachers here in the Spokane area, and then they just kind of opened my eyes to all the things that I could learn from other people. So
nice. Yeah. And your mother's name is Marilyn, as I remember.
Yeah, Marilyn.
And your name's Sophia. And so there was even kind of a stick between you and your mother as thinking of yourself as famous women almost.
Oh, yes,
wasn't
course,
there?
Of course.
No,
yeah.
No, really. That kind of an attitude that you knew.
Yeah. My mom, technically, I was named after my great grandmother, Sophia, but my mom would always tell me about Sophia Loren.
Yeah.
You know, so who I was always in awe with. So,
Sophia Taggart, who's the flute teacher at WSU. So that's a lovely explanation of why in this world in which, you know, if there's a flute job, 100 or 200 of them show up for that. You've certainly chosen an instrument that that has plenty of company, whether you like it or not.
Indeed.
and so you've we'll talk a little bit more later about really settling into your job at teaching at WSU. But let's talk a little bit more about the music, including another piece that you're going to play in a minute. Catherine Hoover, one of the significant composers, and immaterial that now she's a woman composer, fortunately is becoming, I hope, a non-issue.
Yeah.
Winter Spirits for solo flute. Talk about this piece.
This piece was written, I believe, in 1997, and she wrote a reaction to a painting of a Native American painting, which is something that I'm personally drawn to. I love pieces that are based on art, and it's kind of my main focus for research right now. So this piece will evoke a lot of images of Native American flute playing, and it has a very free and, you know, almost spiritual element to it. And it's just one of those pieces that I love playing because it allows some freedom and you can just flow with the moment. And I think that Catherine Hoover wrote a lot of music that allows that. So, yeah.
Well, then let's send you out to play it.
Sure.
Sophia Taggart, my guest today. She is the flute teacher at WSU. And is involved in several flute activities that we'll be talking about in just a little bit. But going back to our performance studio and this piece by Catherine Hoover, as she mentioned, influenced by a Native American painting, and the actual piece is called Winter Spirits for Solo Flute. So back to our studio and Sophia Taggart.
Thank you.
from our studio, Catherine Hoover's Winter Spirits for solo flute, played in our studio by Sophia Tegert, with the obvious techniques from the Native American flute involved with that, too. So I want to change the subject to teaching, mm-hmm. the act of teaching. I remember well in the youth orchestra once, a really young, very brilliant clarinetist was there, and at the end of a rehearsal, you took him aside and started drilling some things on the Lalo Symphony Español with him. I don't know if you remember that, but you did.
Hmm.
And so that sense of teaching, you have an affinity for teaching, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, I love seeing the response that people can produce with what they're doing based on just working through something or talking through it or getting some different ideas about it. So that's something I like doing with my students. You know, I try visual aids, trying to get them to think about different ideas and just technical stuff. So I love teaching, and I love the fact that you can explain something or help someone learn something in multiple different ways.
And so, how about the issue of teaching to do more than simply improve flute playing, but to improve other things in their brain and life?
Yeah, I often think of my job as preparing my students not only to be great flutists, and then, of course, be great musicians, because those are not, you know, exclusive, but also learning those skills that you need for just surviving in the real world, you know, and just becoming critical thinkers about just everything in life. So that's what I love about teaching, is it's so layered, it's multi-layered.
And this Saturday you're having a flute day. What goes on at a flute day?
Oh, what doesn't go on at a flute day? It's a miraculous day. We're going to have a guest artist, James Hall, who's a fabulous performer and teacher, and he's going to do a masterclass, which will feature some of my students, but also some other students from over on the west side of the state even. He'll be working with them as they perform. He'll also be doing a masterclass or a concert, excuse me, at 5 o'clock. And then the early morning sessions are going to be clinics and presentations and lectures from various people in the Spokane area. So Heather Johnson, who's a freelance flutist and who teaches at Eastern, she's doing an orchestral masterclass, orchestral excerpts masterclass. And then Jennifer Slaughter, who's in the symphony as well, is going to do a presentation on all the opportunities for careers in music.
And she's really good at that.
Yes, yeah. I'm really excited to have some of the Spokane people down in the Pullman area. And I'll be doing some classes for just beginner tone preparation and just body position and things. So, I mean, people of all ages will have classes that they can attend, beginners and intermediates and advanced players, high school and college level. Mm-hmm. So.
And then a few days later, you're going to be playing a piece. Who was Dick Kattenberg?
Dick Kattenberg was a composer who died very young. He died in a concentration camp during the Holocaust. And he was a Dutch composer, if I remember correctly. His music is one of the research areas that our Cougar Marching Band director, Troy Benefield, is really passionate about. So he's organizing this concert of music by Dick Kattenberg that includes a wind quintet, and I'll be playing his flute sonata. There's a couple piano pieces and clarinet, cello, piano trio. And then we're also putting in works by Britten and Messiaen to kind of keep it in the World War II realm. But Dick Kattenberg died when he was maybe 22 or something. He was quite young, but left some music out there.
So clearly you've gotten insight as a couple of pieces, including mm-hmm. and especially a sonata. What promise unfulfilled do you hear in his music?
He had a really interesting approach to music. It was, I would have loved to have heard what he did with it had it been developed a little bit more. His music incorporates a lot of adventurous tonalities, and he does incorporate a lot of harmonies and rhythmic motives that are reminiscent of his Jewish faith as well. So it was his music is quite unique. It has some interesting harmonies and some really pretty melodies. So I'm excited to play his sonata. And as far as I know, the quintet has never formally been performed. It's been performed in like a conference and what have you. But I do believe this is a pretty big event for that piece. So.
And then to conclude this busy, busy month, right at the end of the month, Robert Dick is kind of a famous flute player, isn't
he? Yes, yeah. He is coming to the Palouse area, the Moscow Pullman area. Leonard Garrison over at the University of Idaho and I, along with the composition faculties, kind of went in on a collaboration to bring Robert Dick to the area. And so he'll be doing presenting classes and master classes at the University of Idaho and also at Washington State University. And then on November 2nd, I believe he's going to be doing a concert at University of Idaho. So
And what's his claim to fame? Where is he?
Yeah. He's the man who wrote all of these extended technique books. So his focus is all new music and all these amazing sounds that you can do with the flute, which Catherine Hoover incorporated timbrel trills into her piece. Robert Dick is a composer and a flutist. He writes a lot of really fun music for flutists, and he has really helped expand and the flute repertoire, especially this with extended techniques and new concepts.
A whole bunch of fun flute things.
Oh yeah, October's
that are in your life.
Yeah.
My guest Sophia Taggart, who is from here. What's your actual title at WSU?
I'm the clinical assistant professor of flute.
Okay, assistant professor of flute at Washington State University for what, about 6, 7, 8 years?
No, three.
3 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm. This is the start of my fourth year. So. Okay. It's still rather new. I'm still getting used to the teaching process of just being at one university because I was doing adjunct work for 5 years before that. So it's been really fun. The faculty's absolutely wonderful to work with, and it's been great. And especially playing, you know, in Solstice wind quintet.
Yeah, great wind quintet. Yeah. We heard your teacher earlier.
Yes.
Playing in Anya Znitsky. And so introduce us to the piece that you recorded with a pianist, Sofia Gabudalina's Sounds of the Forest.
So this piece is a piece that I heard just a few years before I moved to WSU. And it was such a striking piece. Sofia Gabudalina's music is very wide in variety. There are so many different styles and sound concepts that she uses. This was one of her pieces from the 70s, and it's for flute and piano. I played it on my very first recital, my very first faculty recital at WSU. And to me, it just sounds like you're in a forest and you're listening to birds.
Well, let's go on that adventure. Thank you so much for coming up from Pullman and spending time with us. Sofia Taggart, the assistant professor of flute at WSU, along with Jeffrey Savage, playing this piece, Sounds of the Forest. Played in recital by Sophia Taggart, my guest over the past half hour, along with pianist Jeffrey Savage. That was Sounds of the Forest by Sophia Gubudalina. Great to have Sophia with us and all those flute things that are going on.